I hit record.
I know.
Welcome to the fun show.
I'm Kelly Cree.
I'm Jessica Mullen.
And this is your hour of fun.
Do you want to tell the story of how you said, I know, Grandpa? Can you tell it? Because you just said it to me, and I felt like your grandpa.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, my grandfather, which in hindsight, he was always trying to mansplain shit to people, tried to tell me something that I already knew, and I said, I know.
You said, I know, Grandpa.
No, I didn't say that. That's what we said in retrospect.
Okay, then what?
I never said, I know, Grandpa. That's...
Okay.
That's what we made up later after I told you the story.
Okay.
Anyway, he gave me a speech later about it saying, I don't even know what he said. Don't say I know. I'm like, don't tell me shit I already know. It's pretty obvious.
And she was looking out the window and I said, I hit record. And she said, I know.
I didn't say it like that.
Well, we'll have to check the tape. But welcome to the fun show.
Wow.
I love being able to check the tape.
I can see. I do have eyes. I can see that the thingy is moving across the screen.
Your
I'm not a total moron.
Looking out the window.
Allegedly.
First things first. I'm going to eat your brain. I have an announcement to make. As you know, this radio show is on ShadyPinesRadio.com. And Shady Pines Radio is doing a fundraiser to cover their costs, such as web hosting, their music licensing, their app development budget. They're trying to raise $5,000. And they are doing a fundraiser starting Sunday the 7th. I guess that already happened. And it's ending this Sunday the 14th. So you'll be hearing this on the 13th. And... we would really love it if you could go to shadypinesradio.com/donate, and they have a raffle and you can get lots of cool prizes. And it's even cooler if you live around the Portland area, because there are a lot of local businesses that have donated prizes for this raffle. So if you are listening to this on shadypinesradio.com, please check out shadypinesradio.com/donate. And at the break in our show today, we'll play you something with more information about the fundraiser. Thanks for supporting Shady Pines Radio and the fun show.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe we could give them some.
It's cool that they're only trying to raise $5,000. It's
not
a pretty
much.
Small budget for,
come on,
to run this.
Come on, bud.
The cost of the music licensing for the year is $2,540.
Wow. That is so cool. For and like any song, basically?
I think they can play anything, yeah. And their budget for developing their app is only $1,470.
Well, like, who's making their app?
Yeah,
can we get that person?
Exactly. And then $990 to cover the hosting at radio.co.
Wow. So it's not that much.
ShadyPinesRadio.com/donate. If you can, they're a great organization. Please help them out. Us out.
Cool.
Yeah.
You didn't even tell me about that.
It was a surprise, so I could have your honest reaction.
You will never not get my honest reaction.
Maybe.
I might have to try not to react, but that is also an honest reaction.
That's true. I can't really think of any time you would fake your reaction.
Hell no.
You're really not capable.
I literally am not.
So, moving right along.
I had an idea I wanted to tell you about.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if it would actually work in practice, but in theory, I thought it would be really cool if we could maybe, like, record the fun show in segments, because, you know, we're always having to say, keep it till the fun show or whatever, I'll talk to you about it on the fun show, but then it's like, I kind of lose the... Mm-hmm. It like loses it, and it's like either not as important to me, or I forget like what was so important about that to me. And it's just like, I feel like it's a missed opportunity when at the time I was passionate about whatever it was, but now I don't really even remember why I wanted to talk about it.
Cool. We can try that.
I just know, like, you gotta get the mic, the computer, all that, so.
Well, one thing we could do is when I go to record my meditation videos, I could leave it set up and you could come up and talk to me after.
Yeah, I was thinking that could work, because then imagine if it was time to do it and it was like already done, or we already had done like 2 segments or something on it.
I'm interested in this.
Cool.
Let's check it out.
And talking about when we want to talk instead of having to save it till like a certain time.
True.
So anyway.
So today is, it's 4:20 p.m. and tomorrow we're renting a car. And it just happens to be the coldest day of the year.
Actually, the coldest day is going to be on Sunday, so we're good.
But we're really excited here at School of Life Design HQ because we're going to go...
I was thinking we should change... What if we just changed... Not that we changed our business name, but what if we just started going by Sold?
Sold.
And we, like, changed our logo to say Sold.
We've tried that before. Isn't that what the Dimebag logo is?
Yeah. Yeah.
I still like the Dimebag logo. Maybe it's time to bring it back.
It's not as iconic as the other stuff, and we couldn't use it. It wasn't as easy to use.
True.
There was a reason why it didn't stick around.
Well, part of it is because it relies on the color. Mm-hmm. Well, Sold is okay.
It's better than School of Life Design.
How come?
Because people always think we're School of Life.
That is an issue.
But what I really wanted to talk about... Sorry, I interrupted you before. Were
Go
you
ahead.
About to list the errands we were going to do tomorrow?
No.
Oh.
I was going to make a bad joke, and I'm not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
Because only you would get it.
Oh.
Okay. So what were you going to say?
Well, there was a lot that we wanted to talk about having to do with the cover design of our, like, I know you wanted to talk about your tapes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm ready. Okay. Excuse me. So, I think we can announce it, right? The whole reason why we are working on that project.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Let's go for it. So we're getting the monthly magical record published with a publisher. And one of the things that we're doing is making a new cover for this edition so that you can tell it apart from our original version. And it's so exciting because we have an editor and it's completely revamped. It's going to be a much better version of the book. But we had to redesign the cover, and our first iteration was, I'm going to call it weak.
No, it was not.
It was
no,
a little
there
weak.
Is no judgment that even needs to be made about it.
Well, anyway, we got a request to make some modifications on the cover that we first sent over. And I was kind of stumped. I didn't really know. I didn't have a vision. And normally when I design, I have a picture in my head that comes to me like as inspiration, like an inspiration in my head that's a picture that's
a vision.
Done. Yeah. You know, an inspiration in my head.
That's a picture.
So, yes, I did not have a vision for how to make this cover better. And no matter how hard I thought about it, I couldn't, like, force an idea.
I had nothing. I had a completely blank nothing. No idea whatsoever what to do.
So, if y'all remember, I'm really into the Gateway Experience HemiSync tapes, which are hypnotic binaural beats with hypnotic suggestion that the real point is to guide you into astral travel, astral projection. But as you learn how to operate your astral body or your your total self, as you learn to relax into the experience, you're taught a lot of tools that you can use that are not really related to astral travel, you know, like going to other dimensions or spying on people.
That one is so weird.
I know. I didn't realize how little I cared to spy. I mean,
like you said, it's kind of disrespectful. Like, I wouldn't want anyone to do that to me. I do not want to know what the hell people are doing in private.
Well, part of that one, you were supposed to, like, talk to someone else that you could have an agreement. Like, I'm going to peer in on you at this time you can confirm with me what you were wearing, you were doing.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. It's not nefarious. It's not...
That makes sense.
It's not like a creepy spy program, although that's what the government wanted to use it for.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, so they teach you, it's like 4 volumes, and each volume has 7 tracks or so of 40-minute exercises where Robert Monroe, I'm pretty sure that's his name, he talks to you over these binaural beats and guides you into these different states of consciousness, beginning with normal reality, and then you learn to relax your body, and then gradually get into this state called Focus 12, which he calls your expanded awareness, your total self. And it's like a place where you have access to information. Like, it's kind of like zooming out to have a God perspective or to access infinite intelligence. And so I did this tape a month ago or so, and I loved it. And this one specific track I'm talking about is called Problem Solving. So he gets you into Focus 12 through guiding you there with a few words. And then also the sounds that play make you feel like your mind is lifting up and opening up like a eyeball. Hmm. It's so cool. So you get into Focus 12, and then he says, think of the problem that you brought that you want to solve and send it out to your total self to get an answer back. And you say your question, and whatever you want to do, like, creatively, or it's really imaginative. So however you imagine yourself giving it to your total self, the question, you visualize yourself doing that. So in my visualization, I have the old version of the monthly magical record in my hand, and I say, what should the cover look like? And I throw it up in the air, and it kind of hits this bubble around me and then expands to fill all of reality. It permeates every molecule of reality.
The question.
Yeah. And then you just sit there, and it's a lot of, like, it's cool because he has you do it 3 times in the 40-minute session. Like,
ask the question.
Yeah. But it's kind of a lot of pressure because you want to, like, get an answer back before he asks you to do it again, because usually I want to do 3 questions and really get my time's worth. But this specific time, I was only looking for the cover of the MMR. And it was extremely difficult at first because I felt my mind, it was like my mind kept hitting against glass walls or, like, barriers, trying to think into solutions. Like, is it this? Should it be this? Should it be this? Should I just do this? Like, just thinking. Mm-hmm. Very obviously feeling like I'm thinking about it. And so for the whole first question time, I was doing that and not coming up with any answers, of course, because I'm not relaxing and letting it come to me.
Right.
So then he says again, okay, ask your question again. And for verification and clarity, clarification purposes.
And clarification, I asked, and verity?
Something like that. This is a paraphrase. So ask the question again. And this time, like, I had already had a very vague vision having to do with boxes. And just like this one style that I like to use. So I kind of had an idea, an inkling that it would be in that vein. I already had a thought that would be cool to try if I could come up with nothing else. So finally, I had to tell myself, like, stop trying to think about what it's going to be. You have to let it come to you. Just relax. And so through great effort, I stopped thinking about it.
What was the effort that you used to stop thinking about it?
I had to just tell myself, like, if you want an answer, you have to stop thinking about it. And it's like a feeling of letting go, like letting go of the tension of being stressed about it, mm-hmm. of trying to get the answer. And it's like giving up, like a surrender.
Did you like have any technique, or did you like listen to the sounds in the tapes? Yeah,
I think I just tried to listen to the sounds, because it's a very pleasant state that I'm in when I'm in this focus 12 state. And I just kind of like, it was like I laid down to take a nap. Like I was just relaxing, as I kind of pictured it, like relaxing into a hammock on the beach, because there's ocean waves playing too. Mm-hmm. So I just acted like I was never going to get the answer, or never come up with the answer.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's really the technique, to act like I'm not going to get the answer. I'm not, give up on it. And then I laid there for a while, and I don't remember exactly how it happened. It was a couple weeks ago, but I just saw a vision. Oh yeah, it's coming back to me. I saw a vision that was with the boxes, but then it was integrating these layers of these different illustrations from the book. And I saw a clear vision of what the front cover should look like. And it was like a wireframe. It wasn't a finished thing, but that's all I need. I just need the composition, like the organization of the elements, and what elements are they. So I saw a vision of the front cover, and the way that I saw it, actually, I was inspired to imagine myself walking into one of the stores where we sell our books at. And I just saw one recently on Instagram that had our book, so I pictured myself walking into that store and picking up the new edition of the book. And at first, the cover just looked like it had a huge, like, thumbprint on it. Not like a real one, but like a drawing, stylized thumbprint on it.
Ooh.
And I'm like, it's not this.
It's definitely not this.
But this is a good avenue to walk in the store. So I like put it back down and would pick it back up.
So you came up with the walking into the store thing?
Yeah.
Did he say anything about, like, any of that? Or that's just something that you came up with on your own?
It just came to me. Because it occurred to me that I should think about it in context of where it's going to really live. And what would I be compelled to pick up in a store?
Right.
And then I had the thought, like, I'm really sick of the monthly magical record. Like, I did it for 2 years every month, so I part of me never wants to see it again. And so I kind of had a negative attitude about redesigning the cover, because it's like old work, and I didn't want to go back to old work. It felt boring.
Mm-hmm.
But in this visualization of going into the store, I was like, well, what would compel me to pick it up today and look at it with fresh eyes?
Right.
And that was really the key to unlocking the vision.
That was a really smart conclusion that you came to.
Thanks. So as soon as I like realized that I needed to look at it with fresh eyes and go into a store and see what I would pick up, then the vision was very easy to see about what I thought would look cool and what would compel me to pick something up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm looking at the vision in my mind's eye during this meditation, the thought came to me, there's a whole world in there. And that was like the sentence to describe the front cover. And then I flipped it over and looked at the back. And I didn't really have a vision for the back, but I knew that it would relate to the front. Like, I wasn't concerned about how to execute the back. And the back sentence that I heard when I looked at it was, touch this to remember your magic. So those were like the two phrases that I really wanted to convey through the redesign. or they felt like powerful directional phrases for the mm-hmm. design.
Another instance of like not necessarily like solving the problem, but attracting that sentence that could then be like a guiding light.
Yeah, since we had nothing, like,
right,
like I feel like we didn't even want to work on it because it was just so stale, like
mm-hmm. I agree totally when you said that about like I realized I had to look at it like we were treating it like it was like a stepchild or something, you know, like that's probably not a good phrase that I chose to use. I take it back.
You are a stepchild.
Exactly. So I guess I can say that.
You're allowed.
Yes, I'm allowed as a stepchild. That's really not what I meant. I just meant that we were, I mean, I know I personally had that attitude of like, this is old work and I don't even want to be working on it. I feel kind of put upon that I'm being forced to.
Yeah, like when we agreed to publish it, we didn't really realize how much work it was going to be to make this new edition.
Right. We were like, yeah, fine. Take the file, publish yeah. it, whatever you want. That's like, they asked us.
We thought
know?
They would just take the file and publish it as is, but no. They want to make it better.
Which I'm happy to do and everything, but I'm more concerned with making new work than I am about revisiting old work, but whatever.
Well, same mentally, like, you know, my mind, yes, feels that way. But once I did this Focus 12 experience to try to come up with the cover, right away I came downstairs and started working on it because I had the vision, and it was so fun and so exciting to work on this because I knew exactly what to do. And it was like the flow was open, right. And it made me realize like it doesn't matter what I'm working on, it's just whether I'm choosing to be in the flow mm-hmm. about it,
right? Like that's a choice. Like we decided to do this, we said yes, we signed the contract and everything, so we're gonna do it. So like might as well have a good attitude. I mean, it seems really obvious, but I guess it's not that I had a bad attitude about the whole thing, but yes, I definitely had that perspective of like, this is old work, rather than being like, how can I see this in a new way?
Right. Yeah. And what we still haven't received approval on this latest iteration of the cover, but I know that it's a hit. I know it's a buy. I would pick it up in a store. I love it now. And the reason I said the last cover was weak was because when I looked at it, it didn't really, I didn't think it was as compelling as it could be. I didn't feel 100% certain.
Oh, that's right. I remember you saying that. And then I asked you about it, but you said, save it for the fun show. Because you said you didn't feel confident when we sent it over to them.
And I knew that we had done our best. So I was confident we had done our best. But I expected revisions, and I expected it to be, like, I knew it wasn't done when we sent it. I couldn't have done any better, you know? Like, it's not like I half-assed it. We really tried. But I still didn't feel, like, 100% behind it.
Wow. Because I thought it was good.
It was good. I knew that it was a little, when I say weak, I don't mean weak like design-wise, but if it were on a shelf compared to other right. books, it might blend in the background because it just didn't have very strong elements on
I
the
mean,
cover.
I disagree because it was minimal, so by yeah. comparison, it would stand out.
Yeah. Who could know? But I just, I guess I just didn't have, like, this delighted feeling about it that I did after I worked on the second version. And after I made the second version, every time I looked at it, I was excited about it. It was fun. I had a wonderful feeling while making it. And I feel like I hadn't felt like that in so long, since probably since we did the cover to the Beyond Manifestation journal was maybe the last time I really felt super excited about a design that I made.
I know, it feels like a while, it feels like a drought. It's kind of been weighing on me, but anyway, that's a different topic.
Well, that's really all I need to say about that. Maybe the...
Well, I have more to say about that.
But maybe the... Oh, never mind. I was going to say maybe the image for this fun show could be that cover, but I don't really want to...
The old
blow
one?
Blow the load.
No, the old one.
Maybe, yeah.
No, we're going to take a picture tomorrow when we're out of the house.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I've been wanting to talk to you since, I don't know, whenever Wednesday, whatever that day that was that you did your tape and designed the cover. Well, first of all, two things. The first thing that I was telling you about after you came downstairs after doing your tape, that I said I had pre-paved it
My
Beyond Manifestation journal. Because, like I said, I didn't have any vision. I had a bad attitude. For various reasons. And so let me tell you what I wrote in my pre-paving.
Yes.
Let me find it. Okay. So what I was pre-paving, the cover. The before, don't care at all what happens.
Check.
Exactly. I was like, fuck it. I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm not feeling super pressed to get this done by a certain time, so I'm just not going to care. During, it does itself in the flow.
Ah, yes.
And after, send it early, they reply, we love the iteration. So everything besides them replying happened.
Well, that just hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. And I pre-paved it and everything else. So, I know, whatever, they'll reply when they reply, but...
They just probably thought they forgot to hit send.
Their outbox was probably full. So, anyway, it was exactly as I had pre-paved it, and it was like, I made the choice, like, I didn't have any idea what to do, so I wasn't going to put forth anything into it, and then you did it.
And that's what I wanted, because in my Beyond Manifestation journal, I don't... I think we talked about this last week, but I did the sigh of relief exercise right before I did the tapes, before I even had the idea to do the tapes. And okay, so sigh of relief, what situation in your life are you dreading, stressed about, or uncertain about the outcome? And I wrote MMR cover. How do you feel when you think about it? Inferior, not good enough. And then like, I guess that's just how I felt about, like, they had no choice but to reply not good enough because I felt like it was not good enough. And then I said, what do you want the outcome to be? And I wrote winning the coloring contest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I wanted to mention, that as soon as I did this exercise in the BMJ and realized what I really want is the feeling of winning a coloring contest. Because that's one of my secret talents in life, is winning coloring contests.
True.
And I just have 100% total confidence that I can win any coloring contest that I enter. And I just, as soon as I remembered that that's like my meme for myself, I was like, oh my God, I need to do the cover. I want to do the cover. It's a coloring contest. I can't let Kelly do it. I need to enter the coloring contest.
True.
So I was hoping so much that you didn't want to do it or that you weren't going to try to do it because I wanted to have a chance to win the coloring contest.
Sure as shit.
Just for fun. Like, because as soon as I thought about it in that way, I was like, oh my God, this is my chance. And the end of that exercise, how do you feel now? Confident and knowing I can do it. And fuck yeah, as soon as I thought of it as the project, as a coloring contest, everything was flowing. Like,
wow.
I did the tapes. I got so excited to do my tapes. And I hadn't done the tapes in so long because of the death in the family. And I hadn't felt like doing anything, you know, creative. reasons. So now I'm back on the tapes. I'm super excited about them. And I just love that I can go back to them as a tool, and I don't just have to like go through this course to get to astral travel. To do it. And what's so exciting, what I found, I've now done this problem solving track 3 times, and one was at MMR, one was the first time, and then one was last night, which I'll get to. But every time I do it, it's a lot easier to get into the state that makes me more like relaxed and able to access a broader intelligence. Mm-hmm. They say it's like learning to perceive beyond the limits of your physical body, I think is one description of it. And so now it's getting easier and easier to get into that state, and which is, it's just so fun to have a creative, like, I know that I can meditate to get a creative answer anytime I want, but I have to be really focused. I have to try, you know, like, to stay awake and not fidget. But when I do the tapes, it's so nice to be guided and have the sounds that just really trigger me instantly into that meditative state. I don't have to try so hard to focus.
So there's another topic that's related to that that I wanted to tell you about. So I was reading this novel called Natural History by Carlos Fonseca. It's a translation from Spanish. And just a phenomenal novel about what is art, really, is the main question, I guess, behind the book. But this is actually a quote that, this quote was in the book, but I'm gonna actually read you the actual quote from the original person who said it.
In Espanol?
No. Oh. This person's named Walter Benjamin, which I don't even know who he is, but I think he's like the quote is from a book about telling stories, I think. Okay, so if sleep is the apogee of physical relaxation, boredom is the apogee of mental relaxation. Boredom is the dream bird that hatches the egg of experience. A rustling in the leaves drives him away. And it's all about, okay, I had to look up what apogee means.
Mm-hmm. Is it like the farthest point?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, like the pinnacle or... I guess I never, like, I never really thought about it from that perspective of, like, you have to let yourself get bored and even enough for there to be space for an idea to come forth.
Mm. Yeah.
And he talks about... he's talking about storytelling, I think, but he says that it requires a state of relaxation that's becoming rarer and rarer. And so it's like people don't relax, and that's why a rustling in the leaves drives him away. His nesting places, the activities that are intimately associated with boredom, are already extinct in the cities and are declining in the country as well. And I guess I've been thinking a lot about that because, you know, like I tend to fight boredom, or I'm like beating myself up for not making new work when I just need to let myself get bored enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
To have it to allow it to hatch. When you keep on rustling, then that you're not allowing it to hatch. And it's like so similar to what you talked about with the tapes and everything. And like how the tapes are a form of mental relaxation.
Yeah.
I mean, physical as well, but mostly mental. Like you were saying, like at first it was so hard and like your mind was hitting these glass walls and it was like, but you just had to mentally relax to the point of boredom. Like, not that, like, you're sitting in a hammock on the beach, you know?
Right. I'm not trying to do anything.
Right.
And that's what it is, like, to stop trying to do something.
Right.
Stop trying to do something with this idea.
Or do something to fill the space because you feel like you have to produce.
And that's interesting how it's about storytelling, since our last episode was about my storytelling fail. And it's like, I can see how I... when I get high at first, I'm not relaxed at all. I'm completely tense and on edge because everything is suddenly disorienting.
Right.
And so it's very difficult for me to tell a story when I'm disoriented. I guess makes that's sense. What had happened. And this week I did not eat an edible before the fun show. Which, there's nothing wrong with eating an edible before the fun show, but I know better than to eat edibles in certain contexts. And every single time I think, no, I can handle it. And every single time, no, I can't. Not that I can't handle it, but it's not the time to be putting myself on the spot. It's not the time to be driving.
Right.
Or be on a radio show. Unless now the you point know. Is
in
to,
your
like,
spreadsheet.
Yeah. In my list of rules for myself.
Okay, well, I think that's a perfect place to break if you have nothing more to say on the cover.
I have so much more to say, but yes.
About the cover?
Well, it's a segue.
Okay, let's do our break so they can hear about this fundraiser.
Shady,
we'll come back.
ShadyPinesRadio.com/donate.
Hi there, this is DJ Larrabee, host of Friends of Slop. Did you know Shady Pines Radio is nearly a year old? Yep, we've grown from two people and an idea to over 75 DJs, bringing you a diverse mix of music, information, and fun 24 hours a day on our website, ShadyPinesRadio.com, or through our free app found on Google Play or Apple Store. We love that we've been a bright spot to so many of you during the past year, and frankly, it's been that way for us too. We want to invite you this week to join us in our fundraiser from February 7th to the 14th, Sunday through Sunday. Click on our donate button or go to ShadyPinesRadio.com/donate to see how you can be a part of our raffle and win amazing prizes. Gift cards and items from Portland Music Company, Dick's Primal Burger, Thunder Island Brewing, Specs Records and Tapes, Fire on the Mountain, Barnstormer Recordings, Toast, Breakside Brewing, Golden Age Kombucha, and many more, as well as handmade items made by our very own Shady Pines DJs. For every $10 you donate, you receive one Pine Coin, your entry into our raffle. The more you donate, the more Pine Coins you get, the more chances to win. Click on that donate button or go to ShadyPinesRadio.com/donate right now. Show us some love this Valentine's and win cool stuff. Shady Pines Radio.
Welcome back to the fun show. Okay.
This is, you said you had a segue.
I still have so much to talk about.
Okay.
The first thing, most important segue, is I did the same tapes yesterday to try to come up with brochure ideas.
Yes, I've been eagerly awaiting this.
So as I was starting to talk about last week, we have a brochure that says, do you believe your thoughts create your reality? And inside is a little worksheet, and then all our links are on it. And then we also have a meditation card, what we call a meditation card, which is just a quarter piece of cardstock that on the front has a quote from my meditation video, and it has a coupon on the back. And we're trying to take those two things and merge it into one thing that can both be on our merch table at an event and also that we can put into orders that we mail out. And
it's kind of like a business card, but with some value to it is the idea. And also, yeah, like it needs to, like our old brochure is outdated, and that's the reason why we need to redesign it. It's a trifold of an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And so, like she said, it has like all of our URLs, like our socials and all that. And then it has like a really small kind of like catalog page. And then these meditation cards, they say breathing in, I love myself, breathing out, I don't give a fuck. And it's got a picture of her, and it's really popular like at our table.
Yeah, people love to like hang it up in their office as a reminder. So I really want to make something that's also decorative, like something that you can hang on your wall that like it has to serve three purposes: informational about our brand, decorative as in it's not trash, that you would want to hang it up, and third be some kind of, I guess, decorative, and also this third one, like, that it's useful, or like a kind of like a worksheet or a little mini exercise.
But like, so you're wanting to combine your meditation card into this too?
Yeah, because I don't, well, I guess I don't have to, but we talked about combining them all together because we were putting that coupon on the back of the meditation
card. I don't
want to
do the coupon anymore.
Okay. Well,
I hate the coupon.
But there was still, wasn't there something on the back that was like, post a picture?
Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. It's too hard.
Well, I still think giving a coupon code is nice in an order.
We can tell them to leave a review.
Yeah. Well, in my mind, we were combining the two pieces of paper.
Okay. Well, we talked about it before. We didn't want to do the coupon anymore because it's annoying.
Okay. Well,
the Instagram aspect of it. Because you never know if someone's tagging you for that or they're just tagging you, and then it's
No.
Creepy when you're like, you're messaging right. People, "Here's a coupon code." It's like, "Okay, spam master. I'll get right on using that."
No, you're right. No. That's not what I'm talking about. I thought combining the brochure and meditation card, because the link to the meditations would now be in the brochure, which it is already.
Right. I guess in my mind it's just like, because that's you, that's not the school. I mean, per se, like, then, because the whole idea was like to promote your meditations, but like, is it going to just get lost?
Right, yeah. Well, we can still keep that separate. It doesn't really matter.
I think people like it. I mean, I like it being its own thing because it stands alone. Like,
okay, that's fine. That's fine. That wasn't what I had pictured, but it's fine. But that's that. Breathing in, I love myself. Breathing out, I don't give a fuck, is the caliber of text that I want to be on this brochure. Right.
Or do your thoughts create your reality, just more accurate to what our belief system is now?
So here's what I came up with in my Focus 12. Yes. It was the hardest one I've done yet because I guess I wasn't really able to relax quite the same way as with the MMR cover.
Why?
I feel like I was just trying too hard, and it was just really hard to surrender. And now that we've talked and said, like, I have to act like I'm not going to get the idea.
Right.
That's what I needed to do. So it was just kind of... I don't have a definitive answer, but I do have two things that came to me.
Cool.
The first one is an eyeball, like one of our bookmarks in the center. And at the top it says, "Be it," and under it, it says, "See it."
I like that. That's cool.
And so that was one... And I was picturing, like, if we had an 8.5 by 11 cut into quarters, that we could do four different images, and on the back, they all have the same info.
Love that.
So they're, like, trading cards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it could be a system that we could iterate on in the future with different imagery.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we did with your meditation card, too.
Yeah. So, similar in format to the meditation card. But it doesn't have to be, because if we're keeping the meditation card, we might want to have a different format. But it could be half an 8.5 by 11.
That could be cool.
And it says, "Be it, see it," with an eyeball in the middle.
Okay.
That was one direction, because I'm trying to really distill down our brand to what is our core message. And the other, so that was one core message that I think really encapsulates most of what we do.
Uh-huh.
Be it, see it. And the other one, going on the, "Do you believe your thoughts create your reality?" An updated version of that is, "Are you the creator?"
I like that, too.
And
I like the question, too, because then it draws someone in, just thinking about from the standpoint of our merch table.
Exactly. And so, like, "Are you the creator?" Asking that question, it weeds out anyone who thinks traditional religion is the truth, or, you know, who doesn't believe that they...
Who thinks God is a separate entity from themselves.
Yeah. So it kind of separates us from traditional religious concepts of having a God outside of you.
Right. I think that would be very effective in a good way of repelling anyone who...
Well, I'm not trying to repel, but it would bring up the question to anyone.
I think certain groups of people would find that question quite blasphemous.
And that would be the intention.
Yes.
But that, are you the creator, is something that you would used to ask me all the time when I was having a freak out.
Right.
You would be like, are you the creator? And every time that you would say that, I'd be like, oh, I guess so, fine.
Right.
And it is, because I'm trying to picture both something that encapsulates our brand message and also something that I want to see on my own wall that
right.
would be like a motivational quote.
True. And I like that.
Which one do you like better?
The question. I like Be It, See It, but I don't think it's ours.
No.
And
I just liked it because it incorporated the eyeball, and the first thing that came to mind was the Alan Watts thing of just saying, look.
Right. Yeah, I like that too. I think as far as capturing the attention of looky-loos,
mm-hmm.
The question
are is, you the creator?
Yeah. And I like that it's more polarizing.
Yeah, and then it's also not saying that your thoughts are creating your feelings.
Right.
Like, it's not getting into any of the details.
And it doesn't even say what you're creating.
Right.
You could be the creator of, you know, your sculpture or whatever.
Right. So it as for visually, I just pictured it in like a script font, like reversed out of a photo or something, like clouds. I don't know. I didn't get into the
like,
aesthetic.
Are you still wanting to put like a kind of like a worksheet or an exercise? Like what all, like are you picturing the back just having like our URLs and stuff more like a business card than like a brochure?
I would love to make an identical trifold brochure that had a completely different worksheet.
Yeah,
in it.
I like it being a brochure. I think it's more, it's kind of like more like school like.
Yeah.
And like you said, it adds value and it's kind of, not that it's kitsch, but it does have that, it lends itself to feeling like propaganda.
Yes, exactly. Like when you go to the Wisconsin Dells and there's those,
right,
all those brochures, and
yes,
they're like candy. They're so exciting.
I used to collect those.
Me too. Yeah, so I still love the format of a brochure. And if you want to just do the same format, I mean, we already have a system. We can use the same layout.
Yeah, and then that way there's like contrast between that and the meditation card we already have.
Yeah. And then maybe this, I don't know if Be It, See It has anything to do with anything, but I have been wanting to make a new interior worksheet with mm-hmm. like updated prompts that are more relevant to our direction now.
That sounds so fun.
Okay, cool.
Thanks. Your tapes are really coming through.
It feels like I know I'm the one who's like accessing this information, but it feels like I have this secret trick or
right?
like cheat code
uh-huh.
that I get to use
yeah.
now. That I'm excited to have any kind of problem.
Right on.
Because I can just go in there, and I love going in there so much.
I've always wanted to be the type of person that gets excited about a problem. Like, you know how sometimes you'll watch a documentary or you'll read about, like, a famous artist or a genius and they'll be like, they got excited anytime there was a problem. That's, like, my new pinnacle.
Oh, yeah. That's something that Byron Katie talked about, too, in her books. Like, once you get to a certain level of being able to know that no thought is true, you'll get excited by any problem because you'll be like, oh, I get to do the work on this.
Right.
And it means that there's new possibilities for joy in my life.
Right. Or one way I used to write about it, or still write about it all the time, is an opportunity to use the magic.
Yeah.
It's opportunity to put into practice the things that we theorize about, you know. It's like, those are the times that you do the work. It's not necessary. It's not when you're feeling good.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, ever since the MMR cover, I've been like, wow, that was truly mind blowing at how flowing that experience was. And I'm now excited.
And it's cool because I just remember before when you were started doing your tapes and you were like, it's not working. Like, you had done like four or five of them and you're like, it's not working. And I'm like thinking like, okay, well, this is supposed to take weeks or whatever. But then now you're going back to the one that like you've only done like maybe what, 1.5 weeks worth or something?
I think 2 weeks plus a couple days. And I started falling off when they got into the astral travel.
But it's cool that you're, like, going back to the ones that were at the beginning. That mm-hmm. Before, you were like, it's not working, but it was, like, it was working. You just didn't really know yet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Part of me is like, well, I need to go through the whole series first and see what it's all about and get, like, this broader knowledge of what the whole system is. But this focus 12 state is just so like pleasurable and exciting that I feel like I should just keep going with that as long as it's exciting.
Right.
So fuck yeah. I love my tapes so much. I'm just so glad to like be into them again because I also was going through a drought creatively, but I was just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my drought is just the moon. Like, whatever. And I'm not too worried about it. It always comes back around.
And I always think about, I remember I read you that quote that was like, loss is the best fertilizer. Mm-hmm. But remember we did that workshop on December 5th when we were teaching a workshop, and the one before us, I think, was saying like, the winter is when the soil gets revitalized. It's when it, yeah, becomes fertile right. again. So yeah, I just wanted to say that if you feel like you're in a...
It's not even that I feel I'm in a drought at all or that I'm not creating the things that I want to create. It's that I'm shooting on myself, thinking that I should be making certain types of work to maintain like basically just really beating myself up that I'm not making new subcontent.
Oh yeah.
Right. And I don't feel that I'm in a creative drought at all. Like, I've been making things. I've been doing plenty. I feel totally creatively fulfilled. I just feel oppressed by my thoughts. Like, I don't know if I should. I mean, did you want to have anything else you wanted to say?
Yes. Well, first I want to say, even if we never make any subcontent ever again, our subscription still has value.
I agree. And that's like what I'm always having to tell myself. And also that I am not out to trade work for dollars in any form. And I never want to get sucked into that. And I would never want... it to be like my life to be like, I have to make sub content to like live or to,
right.
you know?
Right.
And so I never want to get put into that position.
That you have to make sub content to make your living.
Right. It's like the work comes when it comes. And if you support the work, then you do. And if you want to take a hiatus, then you take a hiatus. Like,
exactly.
But, and I know the truth of that, but it's like, I still get sucked into this thinking like, well, we have these subscribers and I want to keep like, it's such a double-edged sword, like, because I do want to, like, I want to make it, but it's like, I just beat myself up when I'm not, when it's emotionally not my top priority, when I beat myself up for it not being my top priority, or maybe not making myself do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want sympathy or advice?
Neither. It's, well, I mean, it's just, it's the age old, the same. I mean,
yeah.
I know the answer. I'm not looking to hear any advice or anything like that, actually.
I know. But that brings me to just one thing I wanted to mention that had, that we were talking about earlier that is such a huge relief for me. Kelly's reading this book about, what is it called? Ninth Street Women. Yeah, it's about these abstract expressionist artists in the 50s.
Starting from around the 40s.
So about these painter women. And
the book is by Mary Gabriel, Ninth Street Women.
And so she's just been telling me about it. I'll probably never read it, but I love we both love artist documentaries and learning about other artists' practices. And I just had this realization today or yesterday that I'm an artist and I don't have to, like, I've had this dilemma in my mind for years that when someone asks what I do, I say I'm a designer because it sounds more professional or lucrative than I'm an artist. And I'm not usually prepared to deal with the judgment that comes with saying you're an artist.
I'd rather be judged as an artist than a designer.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, when I say I'm a designer, it's not really open to a lot of questions. Like, oh, you design a website or, you know.
Right. Which is what we tell people, when that's not really even what we do, but that is what we tell people.
But when I don't want to, like, make a big thing talking about myself or, like, have people ask me a lot of questions, I'm just like, I'm a designer. I make websites, which is true in some ways. But I just had this realization, because I've been having this contrast, like, caring about what my parents think about me, like, making up these random, not random, but these stories in my mind, caring about what my parents think about me, like, comparing myself to my siblings, thinking about myself from my parents' perspective, and getting stuck in this loop that makes me want to seek therapy because it's so annoying to think like this. And, like, it's like a mental trap I fall into periodically. So I've been thinking about it a lot, and I had this, like, epiphany, I don't know the way to use epiphany, but epiphanal conversation in my mind with my mom, where I feel like she's judging me or telling me she's disappointed in me, and I say to her, I'm an artist, this is my life, and you don't ever have to, like, whatever I'm doing, however I'm expressing myself, that is my art, and that is it, period. And you don't have to, it's the end of the discussion. Like, there's no you suggesting I get a job, you suggesting I do this, or, right. It ends the conversation with, I'm an artist, period. Mm-hmm. And I am not open to discussion. That is the one label that I will let you apply to me that I think encompasses my life enough that I'll allow it. But it was such a relief to finally, like, accept that I'm an artist and I don't have to try to puff myself up as a
right
as someone who's making a living.
Right. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, that has been one of the most inspiring things about this book, is how being poor was celebrated and it was seen as a virtue, like, because you never sold out and you didn't try to make your work for money.
Right.
And there was this one part where Lee Krasner, we're going to have to talk about this next week because there's so much I want to say about it, but I think some people were talking shit or they were spreading rumors, and she was like, I didn't let it get to me. I am painting. And that was her identity. What she was painting.
That's awesome.
And so she didn't give a fuck about anything else. I am painting. And I just love that because, you know, that's what we're always saying. Say what you are. I am. What is your I am? What is your I am? And it's like, yeah, I am an artist. And that goes right back to what I was saying about feeling the pressure to produce, you know.
I am creating.
Exactly. And that's something I wrote my Bayan manifestation manual too. My pivot thought. I need to make new work. And then I said, I am making new work. And like that, I felt better.
Amazing.
And it's like, yeah, we're artists. We don't create for money, but if you support us, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
SchoolOfLifeDesign.com.
It helps. It really helps.
SchoolOfLifeDesign.com, ShadyPinesRadio.com. Thanks for listening.
So fun.
You can never be sure just where you're going. And memory is a fleeting thing. But you can always know exactly where you are. Shady Pines Radio. You've always been invited. And now, you're here.